living bread in the psalm, the favorite psalm, was saying, if we surrender to you, you hear us, right? Okay? Elijah said, oh, I'm going to die. And then he fell asleep. And then, of course, the angel woke him up and said, eat and drink. And then for 40 days he walked after all that. Right? This is the 40 days in the wilderness of the tribe and the 40 days where Jesus was in the desert. And then, of course, when Paul, the Apostle Paul, tells us how to live. And again, if you live like that, if you surrender, Katie, if you surrender, then God will look after you. Because Jesus is the bread of life. And it's faith. It's not, you can easily say communion. It's connected to communion, the bread and the wine. But it really says if you have faith in God, if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, then you will have eternal life. And that's why he said, I came and I'm the bread. And if you eat me, if you believe, because last Sunday it was explaining that it had nothing to do with the Holy Communion. It has got something to do with faith in Christ. So that is the, or Jehovah God, whoever, you know, this is the common sense. Now, I go up here where I can put my thing down. I bring you grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The world is full of imitations. If you buy shoes or leather goods, other leather goods, we must really check if it is leather, because often it's imitations. And you find especially when you go to Asia, you find all kinds of imitations all over the world. But you can also see it in our supermarkets. And so Monica bought it back, and after 6 months it gave its life away because it was an imitation. But Australia is imitating Danish Camembert. Okay, I couldn't forget that Kate is from Denmark. And then, of course, the Danish cheesemaker said, you can't do that. And now we'll be actually having its Tasmanian Camembert type cheese, you know? So that's good.
I have bought Castella
Brie
Danish today.
Ah, you see. Why am I talking about these imitations? Because the Bible, the second reading, tells us very clearly, be imitators of God. And of course, this is what people do. We imitate. Watch your children or grandchildren. Sometimes they pull exactly the same faces as the father or the mother or the grandparents, or they do certain things which we do. They do it consciously or unconsciously. Teenagers imitate their friends, and everyone else keeps up with the Jonas. The Bible calls us be imitators of God. And how can that be possible? If it's hard to keep up with other people, like the Jonas, we say, how can we imitate God? Have you tried it? Isn't that just a recipe for disaster, to be like Jesus? Have you never had a feeling, I'll never make it? It's the only text in the Bible where it really says we should imitate Jesus. And when I wrote the sermon, I thought, well, I wonder what Luther said. But Martin Luther never said anything about it, nor the Lutheran confessions say anything about imitating God. It's just the Lutheran confession said they emphasized what God has done for us, because in the church, in the Western church in Europe at that time, they were all saying, what you have to do to be saved. And we don't get saved by what we do, we get saved by what we did. I talked earlier on when Kate was giving her testimony about our baptism. God does something in our baptism. But we, I mean, our families didn't bring us up as Christians the way we would live today, but God never forgot us. And when we, I read the Bible, Kate met some YWAM people, and of course, Monica had a lot of Pentecostal friends in that time, and I kept talking with them, and they realized what was happening in me. But me, to imitate God, when I read the Bible, I realized my own sinfulness. How could I be an imitator of God? How could I do that? But the point is that we want to do all these things, but then we realize it isn't really up to us, it's up to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is transforming us, he's changing us. And what does that really mean to be imitators of God? To imitate, or an imitator, together with the image, the word image in English, has got the root words from the Latin language imitatus and imitatio. That's where it comes from. And there is a book written by Thomas a Kempis, Imitatio Christi. In English, it's the Imitations of Christ. And it's also sometimes Imitatio Dei, Imitations of God. What it simply means, it's to follow Christ. You imitate him. And that's not your work, even if we try very hard to do it sometimes. It's the Holy Spirit who transforms us. And of course, as imitators, we are trying to copy something, or we follow someone as close as we can. So what are we supposed to do now? To become the image of God, or to be obedient to the Holy Spirit? The Bible in Genesis 1:26 says that we are made in the image of God. We fell in sin. How this all happened, it's immaterial, but humanity turned against God. And that's why he sent Jesus. Jesus became sinful as he was. He died for us. He paid the price for us. And now everyone who believes in him, and that goes back to the I am the bread of life again, everyone who believes in him will be saved and has eternal life. It's the Holy Spirit who changes us. He does that, he prompts us, he helps us, he sends other people to us, and it's happening in your church. And the best thing is that you haven't got a pastor right now, because your congregation is beginning to look after themselves. But you need a pastor, and perhaps you had to go through a number of calls. And it isn't that you are doing anything wrong or that nobody wants you. That's got nothing to do with that. At the right time, perhaps the one you called now. I thought the last one you called, that was Robert Dandoni, but he said no. And perhaps this person, no, you had one in between. Yes, okay. Perhaps he accepts. And then you got a pastor again, and you, together with him, you can create a new ministry. But the Holy Spirit hasn't forgotten you. He has been very active in this last year since Mido left. By the way, we went to see last Wednesday, Milo down at all the pastors from Persia and surround. We went to see him down there. It's quite interesting where he is. And he says, I must greet you from him. So coming back to living under the direction of the Holy Spirit. And Paul gives us some direction. He says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit, of whom, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. So how do we resist the Holy Spirit? He says, for example, in your anger do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. When I went to Tabor College here in Perth, there was a Chinese woman. I don't know exactly where she, what church she came from. But we talked, in the counseling sessions, we talked about anger and how to identify anger and anger control. And also grief counseling, there's always anger when somebody grieves, because you're always angry with yourself and sometimes with other people. It's part of the grief process. And that Chinese woman said, no, you must not get angry. Our lecturer was from the Catholic University that time, from Fremantle down there somewhere. And he said, why everyone gets angry? We all get angry. Jesus got angry when he threw the people out of the temple. The prophet Amos got angry when people fell away from God and did other things. And God gets angry too. In the Old Testament, he shows his anger many times when people fall into idolatry. So what's Paul saying? I think it's quite clear. When somebody says to us, I remember I could never have a decent discussion with my mother, because she, when I disagreed with her, she would always attack me because she thought I rejected her. And I picked that up. I did the same after some time. So I had to learn, and it only changed when I returned to the church. If somebody would disagree with me, I would say, oh, it's because of this, this, and this. We have the right to disagree. We don't have to get angry about it. We don't have to see any rejection in it. But we do become personal sometimes. We take it like a crutch. We want to pay back. And Paul doesn't, he says, encourage each other. Don't do that. And he says, don't let the sun go down on your anger. Because anger can become obsessive. Sometimes people are angry, and then you don't imitate Christ. When your anger leads you to the wrong thing to do. Gossip. Often people say things in churches which is not really true. They've heard it somewhere, and then they wonder and they like to talk. And Paul says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. When you don't have a pastor, well, I'm not meaning like now I'm coming and taking part in your service. I mean a pastor who leads the whole congregation. then suddenly people who perhaps haven't been involved in the running of the church, they come out, they see a chance, because they otherwise they say, oh, nobody asked me, but now there is nobody to ask them because there is no pastor there, so they come out and they do things, and that's good. But sometimes people disagree. And this is the time when you can actually encourage each other. That's what Paul says, that's following Christ. Encourage each other, support each other, and try to understand other people. When they have got different opinions, there must be a reason for it. That's why Paul says, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. It talks about love. But you know, in our cultural understanding, agape, you know, there are four words in Greek for love. Agape love is not the eros, the sexual, emotional love. It's neither philia, the friendly one, or storge, which is the love of parents for children. Agape is, God loved me, God forgave me, and I know how I was, I know what I did before I knew God. I'm a sinful being, and I still sin in my thoughts, like Jesus said. And he forgives me? So who am I not forgive my brother or sister? That's basic. That's basic Christian understanding. That's agape. You accept that person because that person is a Christian, is a brother and sister. And the Bible gives us enough indications how to approach him. Approach that person, speak about it, and try to find out why that person has got a different opinion. And perhaps that person may change your opinion, or you change the opinion of that person. And this is the way we should live in the church. And this is, like Paul says, this is following Christ. I've got something written here from Martin Luther. He said that we can only love God because he loves us. And our love for each other as Christians is based on the love of the Father to the Son, and then when the Son loved us. And that's really going back to the gospel text of today, where he says, I am the bread of life. Whoever believes in me will never die. So, when he says, eat that bread, and the Jews kind of said, how can we eat him? We know him. We know his father and his mother and his brothers and sisters. And who is he that he can now say he came down from heaven? But we know what he meant. So he declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. So I asked you earlier on, what is the theme, and you picked it, and I just picked that sermon on the second text because that's actually more our life of today. And again, if you want to summarize all of that, you say, we are nothing and we can do nothing without the help of God. We all have the Holy Spirit, therefore the Holy Spirit isn't just in me, he is in every one of you. We are the body of Christ. Okay, we go to Holy Communion together. we eat the bread and we drink the blood. Therefore, we could also say, well, we eat and drink Jesus. All of that helps us. The Holy Spirit takes all of that to make us imitators of Christ. So that's the message of today. So let us pray. Lord Jesus, you are the bread of life from God. Feed us with this heavenly bread. Unite us more closely to yourself and live within us forever. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds safe in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please be standing, and we have our last song for the day.